It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What is up? Welcome into the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I am your host, Ebro, joined at the hip, as always, by my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. The FTNFantasy.com, FTNDaily.com, and FTNBets.com are all live, baby. We have a mountain of content going out every single day across all three sites. And FTN just released the free FTN Prop Shop, which is an absolute game changer in the betting business. So you go there, you can search any team, player, etc. across all different legal sports books, find the props you want to bet on, and head on and smash those bets. You head over to ftnbets.com/prop-shop and take it for a test drive. So on today's show, we're going to preview the running back position, and we have to get in the big noise himself, the Titan of Tequila, the head honcho and namesake of fadethenoise.com, Brad Evans. You can find him on Twitter at noisyhuevos. Brad, what is going on, my man?
Oh, what is it going on? A little this, a little that, a little everything. The Titan of Tequila. I kind of like that. Can I have that carved on my tombstone? Because I think it's very fitting for me overall. But yeah, man, we're super excited. You guys have done tremendous work for us so far at FTNFantasy.com. I've been following all of your team breakdowns with the coaching maneuvers and the team tendencies and strategy and everything else. Very, very good stuff there that you guys have put together. So yeah, pretty exciting time right now, you know, with FTNDaily.com and our guys absolutely crushing it here recently in MMA and PGA and NASCAR. We're winning NASCAR, you know, DFS contests for like 40 grand. I'm not seeing a dime of it, but our guys are out there doing it, and you can always find all their excellent content at FTNDaily.com. But you got our bet site too at FTNBets.com, and guys, we're crushing it there as well. So it's a hot start. No thanks to me so far at FTN.
All of Twitter is the rage right now. I mean, just talking religiously about the prop shop. Can you take us through all of that? I mean, Jordan Richards put out an amazing video, and it is just sexy as hell.
Oh, it is. It's one of the coolest inventions I've seen. You know, Kevin Adams presented to me. We were in Vegas, and I have fuzzy recollections because I was in Vegas of what was presented to me at that time. I remember it was the night of the college football national title game. Of course, the Joe Burrow show that was going on. We were at the Mirage. He had his computer, and he basically had a screen grab of a concept of a prop shop that he had always imagined developing. And I was like, yeah, well, that's pretty dope. That's sick. I am a degenerate gambler and prop shop enthusiast. So for me, yeah, I wanted something that would be seamless and turnkey, where you could just punch in a name or a team and it would automatically cultivate what was available at legal sports books across the country. Well, guess what? We're the first to develop it. Nobody's ever done this before. It is a one-of-its-kind program. Elliot Christ and our development team has done a remarkable job getting this thing off the ground and really following the vision of what Kevin Adams had originally, you know, proposed. And this thing it's seamless. So you just go in, it's like Google search for player props. You put in David Montgomery, and all of a sudden, within a split second, a snap of your fingers, a blink of an eye, right there in front of you is every prop available, whether it's MVP odds, rushing title odds, over under on total yards, touchdowns, whatever the internet can offer at legal sports books, it is right there in front of you. It is the coolest, it is the sickest, and I don't like to say this because I think people overuse it, but it is indeed revolutionary in how people are going to be searching. Instead of having to go shop by shop by shop to try to unearth values, you can do it instantaneously on FTN Bets, FTN Fantasy, and FTNDaily.com/prop-shop. Pretty cool stuff.
Speaking of all-inclusive, my never-leave-a-stone-unturned co-host, Adam, what is going on, my man?
Yeah, man, I'm chilling. I'm glad Brad has the time to join us because, obviously, one of the founding fathers of the site, and it's just been super, super exciting and overwhelming for, you know, myself, and I'm just doing, you know, some written and audio content, but I can't imagine what these last couple weeks since launch have been like for Brad, for Kevin, for Elliot, for Josh Kalachi, for all those guys, but it's been really, really exciting, and like me and Derek have talked about, just stoked to be a part of it, and it's only just beginning, honestly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is just beginning. We have so many more bells and whistles that we're going to slowly unveil as we get closer to the beginning of the regular season. Hopefully everything's going to start on time. But the outpouring of affection, guys, for what we have created, everything's in night mode, which is ultra badass. So, you know, it's really pleasing to the eyes, especially for those of you like me, who like to lie in bed late at night with the lights off. And, you know, you're searching through and reading through various things. This one's not going to ruin your retina, you know, and you're not going to have blurry-eyed vision in short order. It's going to protect your opticals. And it's just a wonderfully designed site, a great user experience, easily navigable. And we have some of the top writers like yourselves, Jeff Ratcliffe, Chris Meaney, you know, Ray Garvin, so many guys with multiple skill sets. We can plug and play. So we got a lot of Swiss Army knives that are out there, kind of the Austin Ecklers of the fantasy universe.
Right? And like I'm sitting here doing a bunch of football content every single day all week, and then all of a sudden, boom, you look and we're going to have baseball and basketball starting very soon, which is just even more exciting because we, like you said, we just have so many Swiss Army knives. Like I'll be doing baseball and basketball on top of football. You know, Josh Gross does baseball, he does basketball, he does tennis. He's like the smartest tennis guy I've ever met in my life. Chris Meaney, Matty Wood, all these dudes doing baseball. It's going to be ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So stoked. Absolutely stoked. But we started the positional previews last week. We did the quarterbacks with Anthony Amico, who is also part of FTN Network, and made sense. He was the number one quarterback ranker in preseason last year. And now we go to running backs to kick it off. There's a lot to talk about. I guess we should start real quick with the Derrick Henry extension because it made Derrick cry.
What can I say? Derrick Henry is a sledgehammer. Brad, what do you think about this? 4 years, $50 million. It looks like, just looking at the particulars, it's more of a 2-year contract. But what do you think about the man, the mountain that is Derrick Henry?
Well, you know, he could be a little bit polarizing. There's some people believe that he's going to take a step back, coming off the mountaintop of what he was able to do last year, really climbing Everest and, you know, securing the crown for the rushing title. But, you know, it's an interesting investment. It's a 4-year deal. You know, will he be able to play up to that level over all 4 years? I would venture to say no, because it's a violent game. Though he is a mammoth of a man, you know, injuries do happen. And, you know, I like what Tennessee has done, though. They are trying to maintain continuity. You know, they signed Ryan Tannehill to a long extension. They've got not only him, but of course you've got A.J. Brown in the mix as well that they have under lock and key for, you know, the next 2 to 3 years. This could be a swan song for Corey Davis. But, you know, really the three amigos there in Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and A.J. Brown are, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered for the foreseeable future. That's enormous for this team as a whole to maintain that consistency on a year-in, year-out basis. But make no mistake, Derrick Henry is going to be the heart and soul of this entire scheme. You know, his ground and pound through its, you know, true form, though A.J. Brown is going to be a field stretcher. But Henry, and he's going to go out there and get his, you know, 280, 290 carries. A player, I think, with a floor of around 1,300 yards on the ground this season, likely going to get double-digit touchdowns. He was number 2, second only to Tony Pollard among qualifying running backs last season in yards after contact per attempt. Forces a lot of missed tackles for a guy of his enormity. So, you know, I think it's a very safe pick there in the middle portion of round one, whether you're talking standard, half point, or full point per reception leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. I have nothing to disagree with you about. I think Henry is a volume monster. Really, this just signs, seals, deliver, like his entire value, like his role is unquestioned. Adam, anything you want to add on the big man, Derrick Henry?
No, he's as good as McCaffrey, and these guys have been, like, as a pure running back, there's not been a better running back over the last year than Derrick Henry. Like, though, he's had the last 2 second halves of 2019, 2018, where he's just dominated. He's just been unstoppable. And we don't talk about it enough with the Titans, I think, for fantasy, because they're a low-volume offense. I was writing down some numbers, because I'm not crazy about Tannehill this year, but I think they averaged 26.9 pass attempts per game last year. It was the fourth fewest by a team over the last 5 years. That's going to go up, and this is a really concentrated offense. Like Brad mentioned, Corey Davis isn't a thing anymore. Like, it's Derrick Henry, it's A.J. Brown, and it's Jonnu Smith. So, like, you know where the production is coming from when Tannehill and Derrick Henry, you know, remain with the team. It's all about continuity, and you add that with a, you know, an above-average defense and a good scheme, and I think they should you should expect not the same efficiency from this offense, but the same kind of, you know, approach, I should say.
Absolutely. So diving into the running back position, Brad, as far as strategy goes, I know a lot has been made about running back heavy, robust RB, things of that nature. How are you attacking drafts this year? Are you leaning into running backs really, really heavily in the early part of your drafts? And does that look a little bit different depending on the size of your leagues?
Well, look, I don't really normally adhere to any kind of strategy. I have kind of the no strategy strategy, which in theory, I guess, is really a strategy. So I've just, you know, I'm somebody who is a value-based drafter. So whatever falls to me, wherever I'm at, you know, whether I'm at the pole position, whether I'm in the middle of the pack or on the caboose, for me, I'm just waiting for the values to come to me, and then I react to the room and what is presented in front of me. So, you know, I have, you know, dabbled. I've done a number of different strategies going, you know, running back, and really adhering to that running theory, you know, kind of what is old is new again. But for me, it really is dependent upon what's available. And I could tell you this, you know, it seems like I have been in the 10th spot in like 9 out of the last 10 drafts. It's a little bit annoying. So typically I've been going wide receiver at that position, normally, you know, aiming to get Julio Jones there. Then on the comeback, there's some great values in round 2 in fantasy drafts at the running back position. You can go Josh Jacobs. You know, you could go with an Aaron Jones, who a lot of people are divided over, you know, coming off last year's league-leading 19 touchdowns. You know, there's going to be a regression built into his price point, and that seems to be a result as he's been slipping consistently in a round 2, and I think it's a little bit absurd that he's going, you know, that late in drafts. I've even seen Kenyon Drake, too, you know, right there, right after the turn, available as well. So it's actually kind of a sweet spot. If you want to diversify the portfolio early and you want to invest in a high-floor wide receiver there near the turn, you compare that person with one of the aforementioned running backs thrown out there and potentially laugh all the way to the bank. So I think there are a lot of great values. And I'll throw out one more, too, a player that made my Rodney Dangerfield All-Star list, which you can read right now at FTNFantasy.com, Chris Carson. Now, Chris Carson, people are skittish over because of the hip. All medical staff has checked him out. All the reports have been very rosy for his outlook that he is going to be available come week 1. And this is one of those true blue workhorses in a run often offense with the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, a player that gets appreciable yards after contact, forces a boatload of missed tackles, can catch the ball in the backfield. And, guys, I've been getting him in round 4 of 12-team drafts, which is absurd. And I'd be willing, you know, to get him in round 3. And I even think of the back half of round 2, it's no stretch at all. Chris Carson will be a top 12 running back this year. Mark it down.
Perfect. It's literally perfect that you brought it up, because I literally posted a 12-team mock draft where I wanted to, for content purposes for the site, and it's up at FTN Fantasy right now, I wanted to use the approach where I went running back with my first 3 picks. And Chris Carson, 311, and I was sitting there and I was like, okay, well, for the sake of this exercise, I have to take a running back here. But Chris Carson, after I took Kenny Drake and Miles Sanders, who have immense upside, but they're, you know, they're a slight question mark. Chris Carson is just, I mean, the guy's been top 8 in carries each of the last 2 seasons. Rashad Penny doesn't seem to be ready to return before, you know, he's going to be activated he's going to be coming off the PUP list. I think the Carlos Hyde signing was more indicative of that, not Chris Carson. And, you know, what's his downfall? That he fumbles the ball? Okay, he fumbled the ball last year and they still didn't go away from him. And I just think at, you know, late third, fourth round, you're getting a guy that could legitimately finish top 5 in carries again and nobody would be surprised. So, yeah, it's kind of a perfect segue that we talk about this and we talk about Chris Carson, because I literally went Kenny and Drake, Miles Sanders, and Chris Carson with my first 3 picks and still got DJ Moore on the turnaround as my wide receiver 1, which, you know, I think because wide receiver is so deep and there is a drop-off at running back, going running back is viable. But I'm starting to think, the more I look at it, I want to make sure I get at least 2 running backs with out of my first 3 picks. I think that's – the drop-off at running back does scare me a little bit, and we can talk about it. But
Brad, diving into your rankings, where is that tier break, like RB1 top 15 for you? Is it at Aaron Jones, or where do you have him right now?
Yeah, I've got Aaron Jones pretty highly ranked currently as I am right now doing great podcasting because I'm pulling up my running back ranks. So I'm delaying the inevitable here as much as I possibly can. But yeah, getting this locked and loaded. Again, you can check all the ranks out on FTNFantasy.com. I have Aaron Jones at RB8 presently. So just to give you some context, Derrick Henry's at 5, then Kenyon Drake I have at 6. Very bullish on him, followed by Josh Jacobs at 7. And, you know, I saw Sigmund Bloom tweeting out, well, DeAndre Washington, he was so much better on a per-game basis late last year than Josh Jacobs was the entire season. I don't buy in any of that nonsense. I'm following the talent there. Josh Jacobs led all running backs in missed tackles force last season. He's an absolute stud. And Mike Mayock has come out and said, you know, phase two, his quote, not mine, is getting Jacobs more involved in the pass game. So I think he is going to be an absolute stud in the silver and black in Vegas this season. Then after Aaron Jones today, I have Austin Eckler at 9, and I have Dalvin Cook at 10 and Chris Carson at 11. So the reason I'm on, you know, down on Dalvin Cook, A, not exactly the picture of rigidity, right? And B, a guy that is threatening a holdout. So, and I also worried about Alexander Mattison eating into his workload. There's just too many downsides. I was all in on Dalvin Cook last year based on the valuation, but there is no way that I would spend a round one pick on him right now. Too many risks attached.
No, and I was all in on Dalvin last year. Like, I was taking him in the middle of the first round, like top five pick, and people are like double taking and staring at me. And I'm like, look, he's going to be amazing. But this year, I'm firmly with you. I'm out. If it's not contract, it's injury concerns with him. There's so many other ways and that I think you can go in running back and ascending talents. A lot of people have Christian McCaffrey as their set it, forget it, locked in RB1. I haven't looked at your ranks lately. If Christian McCaffrey is not your one, who is it? And do you think anybody can dethrone Christian McCaffrey from that one spot this year?
No, full disclosure, I do have the CMC Football Factory at RB1. You know, it's hard to repeat. You're right. You know, it's really tough to do that in a year-in, year-out basis, but his floor is just so extraordinarily high because of the scoring duality. However, I've said this before on the SiriusXM Fade the Noise radio show, and, you know, I'll quadruple down on it. If there is one guy who could dethrone him this season atop the RB ranks, it's not Saquon, it's not Zeke, it's not Derrick Henry. I think it's Alvin Kamara.
Yes.
I really do.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kamara was – he had really an extraordinary year considering the myriad injuries that he suffered from last season. You know, we knew about the high ankle sprain, which really bogged him down for a large chunk of the regular season, but it was revealed recently he also had a bad knee. He had a bad back. I mean, he was jacked up, you know, full body cast style, yet he was still out there gutting it out, getting those touches, getting those carries, and then surrendering some of those looks inside the red zone. I think he gets back to where he was a couple of seasons ago when he had over 50 red zone attempts and was a double-digit TD contributor. And he's in one of the greatest offense environments imaginable. I mean, New Orleans ranked at or near the top of basically every run-blocking metric that is tracked in the advanced analytics universe. Drew Brees, though he's getting long in the tooth, he was number one in just a completion percentage last year, still playing at elite level. You got Michael Thomas, who could stretch the field to bring in Emmanuel Sanders to operate out of the slot. Can also work a little bit outside. Jared Cook still there as well. I'm not worried about Latavius Murray, and I'm not worried about the stupid Taysom Hill drum beaters that are out there saying, well, there's a reason why Alvin Kamara is never going to score 10 touchdowns again because it's that guy named Taysom Hill. And if Taysom Hill were a starter, oh, my God, he'd be better than Tebow. You know, it's just nonsense. Absolute nonsense. I have no idea where that Southern accent came from.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Well, I grew up in Texas and Illinois. But, Alvin Kamara is a guy that I think has a real shot to be the la creme de la creme, wearing the fleur-de-lis and for fantasy devices as well atop the running back ranks. And, you know, that's why I've been taking him consistently ahead of Zeke Elliott in drafts this year.
We talked about it. Like, we'll get to the tight end podcast later this week. I'm completely off Jared Cook because I think Jared Cook's touchdowns last year came at the expense of Alvin Kamara. Like, for how many touchdowns the running backs have scored in this Saints offense since Drew Brees has been there, it just came crashing down last year. And obviously, Kamara's injury played a huge role. His missed tackles forced per rush just plummeted when he suffered the high ankle sprain and tried playing through it. Like, when he was healthy, he was still, you know, among the best in the league. And the other thing, you can just pencil him in for 81 catches, apparently. Like, he's just going to catch 81 passes every year. Yeah. But even, joking aside, like, he's going to catch more passes than Zeke, you know, no matter what. And, you know, Barkley's capable of it, but there's more weapons there as a whole where I would think we'd still have to project Alvin Kamara for more receptions and, you know, probably any running back in the NFL outside of Christian McCaffrey. And if those touchdowns go up, you know, that could be the difference. And the other thing with McCaffrey is I'm not removing him from my number one spot either, but, you know, a new regime, a new system. This is a guy who's playing like legitimately 96% of the snaps. You know, maybe that goes down to like 90. Maybe they you know, bring in some of these second string guys just to give them some rest. And if that happens, and you know, it definitely hurts. And like Brad said, it is hard to repeat. So I'm on board. Kamara would be my guy that I think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Alvin Kamara, just because the system is unstoppable for you to defend Alvin Kamara, and I think the touchdowns are coming back up.
Well, and I'm going to spin the other side of the coin here. Not a hot take, but I mean, right now, Saquon is my RB1. And for a lot of the reasons, everybody comes at me, they're like, okay, you must hate CMC. No, it is not that. It is literally because it is so difficult to repeat as the RB1 in fantasy that I'm really just, I mean, some people could say I'm hedging here, but I think that it's so amazingly difficult. We haven't seen it since Priest Holmes repeated in 2002-03. And for me, I love where Barkley is this year. I think that if you're looking at pure talent and skill set and the ability to just garner receptions at will, regardless, and many people have talked about the schedule, Barkley, even in tough matchups, could still stack up 8 receptions and not even have a problem doing so. And I like the situation for the Giants. I think things are trending up with better play from Daniel Jones, improvements along the offensive line with Jedrick Wills. I actually think the defense could be a little bit sneaky this year. And with Garrett in town, there have been a lot of people that have been saying, okay, well, look, you need to pump the brakes on Daniel Jones because of Jason Garrett. And that is because he likes to run the ball. And I understand he's been the head coach. He hasn't been the OC, but multiple OCs. Dallas had the identity they were going to run the ball every single time. Over the last 6 years, top 10 in rushing attempts in each year. We're talking about touchdown equity, and that's what you need to get to that RB1 spot. Top 7 in 4 of the last 6 years in rushing touchdowns. So I'm with Saquon. I'm going to lean on the side of history here and saying that as good as CMC is, that last year was such a perfect storm as well. I mean, there are literally games they went out there and they were like, okay, you're close to a record. Let's just feed you, baby. Like, get all the touches you can. Touchdown equity, it's all yours. Like, the rest of this team, blow it up. It sucks. And I have concerns as well about the offensive line that CMC is going to run behind. I understand the pass game stuff, but that's where I lean on the RB1 side of it. But I know we talked about your ranks a little bit earlier, Brad. The two guys that I think are immense, and they're on the love list for a lot of different fantasy gamers right now, and I'm with it, is Kenyon Drake and Miles Sanders. Do you think that they are garnering or should garner back of the first round, like equity, like, or is that just absolute insanity right now?
Well, look, here's the deal. I think both are fairly priced, to be honest with you. You know, with ADPs, Kenyon Drake a little bit higher, you know, depending upon, you know, what kind of draft you're in, what kind of environment. And I know home league is going to be different than what we do in quote unquote expert circles. But Drake is somebody that, you know, I've sunk heavy coin in at like number 11, number 12 overall in some leagues. Miles Sanders going around a similar price point, maybe a little bit later in that early portion of round 2 into 12 team setup, whether it's half point or full point PPR. But I love the Drake, and I think he is a tremendous fit for this air raid scheme under Cliff Kingsbury. You know, a guy that stepped in 8 games last season, an average over 101 total yards per game. You know, he was on pace for over 50 catches, on pace for 16 touchdowns. You know, but the total yardage being at a very high rate as well. And he saw very few stack fronts. According to NFL Next Gen Stats, he was in the bottom 5 of fewest stack fronts seen at 8.8%. So, you know, even though the offensive line for Arizona is a work in progress, it's all about the scheming and it's all about the setup of how that air raid works under Kingsbury, because they space out the offensive linemen a little bit differently compared to traditional offenses. And as a result of that, it works brilliantly when you have an RPO quarterback in Kyler Murray. And that can only stand to benefit a guy like Kenyon Drake, who has got multiple tools in the box. So I am fully bought in on him. I think he is going to be outstanding across the board this season. And then with Miles Sanders, a little bit more trepidation. It's only because I have trust issues with Doug Peterson. And I'm also a strong Boston Scott advocate. Boston Scott was one of my favorite players out of the draft a couple of years ago. Wound up on the practice squad of the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees fell in love with him. You know, compared him to Darren Sproles, you know, short, plucky, fire hydrant guy with feet. Makes guys miss. He had extraordinary yak numbers at Louisiana Tech. Then he got cut, and then he, you know, got signed on by Philly and then worked his way up and then exploded, you know, weeks 13 through 17 last year.
Replaced Darren Sproles, essentially.
Right. With Sanders on the field, who was getting like 20 touches per game. So, I mean, you pulled all together, and his efficiency, his ability to get, you know, 10 to 12 touches per game, he's somebody that's going to eat into the workload of Miles Sanders. He's going to steal away and be that goal line gremlin on occasion, you know, because if he's got the hot hand, Peterson may not, you know, toss him out of the game and sub in Miles Sanders, or it could be just something within the scheming within that moment that they're trying to take advantage of with his short stature and explosiveness. So, you know, I haven't dove headfirst into the pool on Miles Sanders quite yet, mainly because of my infatuation with Boston Scott, who I'm getting in like round 11 or round 12. But I'm definitely pushing in the entire stack of chips to the center of the pot on one Kenyon Drake.
Yeah. So one of my first pieces of content before we launched was just a breakout running back list. And Kenyon Drake, Miles Sanders definitely at the forefront. Kenyon Drake, I mean, you mentioned how few stacked boxes he saw, and the system with Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona isn't going to change. They ran four wide over 40% of the time. It's so hard to stack the box, especially now that you have DeAndre Hopkins to that four wide set. Andy Isabella's got speed. Christian Kirk's, you know, a really promising player. And Larry Fitzgerald, yeah, he's 72 years old, but he still warrants attention. Like, it's just going to be so hard. And Miles Sanders, I do tend to agree that Doug Peterson has favored a committee in his, you know, coaching career, but he's also, I don't think he's had a Miles Sanders. I mean, there was LeGarrette Blount and Jay Ajayi, who were extremely one-dimensional during their times with Philadelphia. Ryan Matthews, who always talented, rarely healthy. And Josh Adams was their lead back for a spell a couple years ago. I think this is a little bit different. I do agree that if there was a guy I'd be more confident in, it would definitely be Kenyon Drake. And then also making that breakout running backs article was David Montgomery.
Oh, yes!
I'm in, man. I really am, because he is the ideal if you want to just, like Brad mentioned, if you're in that like 10 to 12 pick range and you want to go like, you can, because DeAndre Hopkins isn't a first round pick anymore. You could go Julio DeAndre Hopkins or Julio whoever, go receiver heavy, maybe take George Kittle or someone in the third if he's there, and all of a sudden you need running back help, but Dave Montgomery is the cheapest 250 carry back you're going to find. He is going to get 250 carries if he stays healthy, because Tariq Cohen has never reached 100 carries in a season. He's not going to this year. They don't have anybody of note behind Dave Montgomery. And yeah, he was bad last year. I'm sure, Brad, you agree, as a huge fan of his last year coming out of college too, he was so good at avoiding and breaking tackles, and that just wasn't a thing for him last year. He was just awful. I think he was dead last, or second to last, in yards after contact per attempt. But you look at the situation, and I don't really care if you think Dave Montgomery's good or not. Yes, the Bears' offense is not going to be good. He's going to get 250 carries. He's going to get all the goal line work. He had 87.5% of their carries from inside the 5-yard line last year. Only Leonard Fournette had a higher rate. And then you add the fact that if Trubisky is their quarterback, it's going to be a below-average offense. If Foles is their quarterback, it hopefully gets to an average offense. Either way, they can't be as bad offensively as they were last year, where they were 29th in yards per drive, 30th in three and outs per drive. Should give Montgomery more scoring opportunities. And who knows, like, they don't, it's not like they're loaded with pass catchers either. I don't think Dave Montgomery is going to be a zero as a pass catcher. He's not going to be Austin Eckler or, Alvin Kamara or anything, but I don't think he's going to be a zero either. So fifth, sometimes sixth round, Dave Montgomery. Yeah, I'm 100% on board.
Yeah, I am too, obviously.
Oh, are you?
I can't quit him. It's like my love affair with Royce Freeman from a couple of years ago or the other running backs that I have left in my wake.
Whenever you feel bad about that, just remember I was heavily, heavily touting Bishop Sankey his rookie year. Heavily.
Oh, we've all had misfires. And it's for a lot of us in the fantasy community, it's just whether or not you own it.
Yeah.
There's some people out there, I'm not going to name names, people will call them out, they'll be like, nah, they'll just gloss over it, they'll never accept the reality because I think it's going to ruin their brand. No, that makes you endearing, that makes you affable, it makes you likable. It's like, we don't have all the answers, we're trying to predict an unpredictable game, right? We have all the data points, we all have the hot takes, and we can throw it together in a cogent sentence and splash it on FTNFantasy.com, but we don't know what's going to happen in the end. We hope this is going to happen, but in reality, it may not. And it didn't really work out for me last year with Dave Montgomery. Now, I do pin some of the blame on Nagy, who used to drive me nuts with Tariq Cohen coming in on first down, first and 10, running him up the middle. Like, that was an efficient play. But the Bears' offensive line, it's got problems. This is a rickety front. They didn't make a whole lot of improvements there. I didn't think the Bears had a particularly good NFL draft because Ryan Pace is a giant nincompoop. So, there's a lot going wrong with this team, and this is why Pace and Nagy are both on the hot seat right now. But you're right. Montgomery is going to get 70, 75% of the opportunity share. And that V word, that volume word, is so magical in fantasy that through sheer attrition that he should be able to get inside the top 24 and probably inside the top 20 this year. I think 1,250 yards and 7 to 9 touchdowns entirely achievable for him in a sophomore campaign.
Not to mention the offense is going to really open up when they trade for David Njoku in a couple weeks. It's going to be sick.
Well, because we don't have enough tight ends in Chicago.
What do you think about Montgomery, Deeper? I haven't talked to you about him much.
Adam, you don't have to talk me into Montgomery. I was just as much as touting Montgomery to the masses as Brad was last year. I think so. We all just kind of wrapped up our Scott Fish Bowls. Brad and I were the top two guys that took Montgomery the earliest. And talking about owning the L's here, yes, I was out in the streets just running naked talking about David Montgomery to whoever would listen. And I'm there again this year because for everybody that wants to come, talk about all the volume and you're looking, and people are on board with Leonard Fournette, you're looking for love in the wrong place. You're looking for 2019 Leonard Fournette. David Montgomery is that dude. He is Uncle Lenny this year. He is going to stack tons of volume. And for people that are worried about Tariq Cohen, I understand he's going to still be involved in this offense. He's not going to go poof, just vanish from the offense, but he was not good last year. You look at yards per target, the guy was near the bottom of the league. For Montgomery, are they going to use him in more of a three-down fashion this year? I don't know if that comes to fruition, but I do think that his pass game usage goes up this year. Mitch Trubisky is not going to be the starter for this team. You do not pay the pseudo-king's ransom for Nick Foles to sit him.
Right.
He can have this offense humming again. It could be more efficient. And he's not mobile. So more check-down opportunities if Montgomery's even on the field. We saw it back to Uncle Lenny. Leonard Fournette's target share went up with Nick Foles on the field last year, went from 15 to 20%. So if Montgomery is going to get more targets just simply by being the warm body on the field, I'm on board. And unlike Fournette, Montgomery actually does score touchdowns. I understand people don't want to come to grips with that fact, but if you're looking for Leonard Fournette, you're looking for the nasty volume monster this year, it is David Montgomery, and he's going to stack the carries and be so much better. People are going to be absolutely singing in the streets by the end of the year by the fact that they got him in the fifth and sixth round, and they're staring at near 300 touches when the season closes.
And what happens if Anthony Miller, because remember, they don't have Taylor Gabriel anymore. What happens if Anthony Miller misses time with injury? Because he's been hurt. I love Anthony Miller this year. But if he's been hurt coming out of since he came out of college, they clearly would have no issue moving Tariq Cohen to the slot. And then there's no, like, they did it in week one last year when Anthony Miller wasn't healthy. Like, they would have no problem playing him, obviously not prime, just, you know, solely out of the slot, but he would play a lot more in the slot. And then Montgomery would just rarely come off the field unless one of these, you know, backup running backs really shines. But again, in this just completely different offseason, it's hard for these guys to gain momentum heading into the season. So, therefore, it's hard for these coaches to trust, you know, these backups and these younger guys. So, you can't draft with last year's numbers in mind for the most part. Like, you just, you know, if draft position is totally, totally, totally something you need to be wary of when you're drafting. And, you know, Dave Montgomery, I believe he reached like the third round at last year, but you're getting him at a, you know, much, much more comfortable tag.
Well, and the other thing too is I think his role in the pass game is going to increase. Like he's a really an exceptional receiver out of the backfield. I remember there was one ball I might have been, I don't know, the second
Brad,
Green Bay game.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking of too.
Yeah, it was a seam route that he ran right up the middle of the field. Trubisky threw just a terrible ball. Shocker, right?
Trubisky
throwing a wounded duck. It was behind his right shoulder. And I remember Montgomery jumps into the – there's nobody around him. Like, it's not a contested catch. He's wide-ass open. He jumps up into the air, has the body adjustment and awareness to turn his body completely around, high-pointed, comes down with it, hits the ground, gets up, gets it a couple additional yards before the defender comes over and, right, you know, wrangles him to the ground. But, I mean, just imagine if he was hitting stride on that. It would have been six, right? And the Bears just, they underutilized him so terribly, so woefully as a receiver last year, and he has that skill in his possession. So I'm hoping this year that, you know, we're going to see him catch maybe 35 to 40 balls. I think that is doable if Nagy schemes correctly, which I don't know if he is capable of doing because I think he is a giant moron. So that's where we're at.
Caught 25 balls last year and, like you said, was not utilized correctly at all and wasn't utilized fully until, like, week 9. Like, everybody was so scared after week 1 where he was just not getting the ball. And then he got the ball more and more, but it wasn't consistent until around week 8 or 9. So, yeah, like, if he can hit the 40 catch mark, that would be massive for him because, like I said, he's going to get, at worst, 240 carries.
Well, and like we talked about, the Bears didn't add anybody to this backfield in the draft. Now, we did see a lot of talented rookies come into the league this year. And so, Brad, I know you and Jeff have been absolutely slaying with booms, busts, breakouts, rolling through all the teams right now. With the rookies, and I know you just had the Kansas City Chiefs discussed here. I know you aren't sold on CEH. I don't want to bury the lead too much here. Yeah. But tell me what you think about rookies and what do you see for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, especially this season?
Well, look, we're living in some unique times, unprecedented days right now, right? With COVID and the impacts, you know, made many camps. The rookies have not been at team facilities, you know, at time of taping today on a Monday. Chiefs rookies have shown up just for COVID testing today, right? That's it. So, you know, there's been a lot of Zoom sessions and guys are learning the playbook from a distance. And, you know, that will help in terms of shortening the learning curve. But I got severe pause and reservations with a lot of these guys, with the exception of Keyshawn Vaughn, because he's cheap. You know, he's going like RB38 right now, and he's a guy that if he can fend off Ronald Jones, who's packed on a little bit of muscle, is parachuted in like the perfect situation. You know, paradise for fantasy purposes there in Tampa Bay with all of the weapons around him and the improved offensive line. But, you know, Kansas City, of course, is the best situation, but we just forget about Damian Williams and what he accomplished over not like a 3-game stretch, not a 5-game stretch, but over 8 games from week 9 through the Super Bowl. He averaged 98.3 total yards per game and total 10 total touchdowns last season. His yak per attempt was through the roof at 3.71. And on the season, he forced a missed tackle 24.2% of the time. I understand that CEH has Brian Westbrook tendencies. That's what Andy Reid believes. That's why they invested a round 1 pick, the last pick in the NFL draft on the opening night. But Damian Williams, this is his last year. This is clearly his swan song in Kansas City. And I think the motivation for this franchise was we need to find somebody who is going to be our primary running back for 2021. That is CEH, but that doesn't mean it's going to apply this year. And I think Damian Williams, we're hearing it from a lot of the beat writers, Nate Taylor of The Athletic, he believes, based on all the information he's collected, talking to Chiefs coaches, it's going to be a 70-30 split to begin the season in favor of Damian Williams. And even at peak, he still believes it's going to be a 55-45 split in favor of Damian Williams. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that CEH is probably going to log anywhere between 9 to 12 touches per game, and you're spending around 2 pick on him? It's madness. Damian Williams, 40 to 45 picks later, is the better value, and I will say boldly, he will outproduce CEH this year.
Woo! I mean, I like CEH as a talent. I do think that is something definitively to talk about, the fact that Andy Reid's running backs do not live off of volume. It's all touchdowns. I mean, in the last 10 years, they've only been top 12 in rushing attempts twice. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think that if you're looking at this backfield as split up, it comes down to who gets the tutties, and I can't definitively say that the veteran is not going to be the one that goes there. Any thoughts real quick on any of the other rookies?
Yeah, I mean, Jonathan Taylor is an extraordinary talent, a guy that posted some ridiculous numbers at Wisconsin behind the big uglies there. And he was top 5 in total missed tackles forced and total yak, and had a ton of carries that he ripped off for 15-plus yards. But, you know, we're hearing a similar sentiment out of Indianapolis that I've gathered from beat writers like Nate Taylor out of Kansas City, where Marlon Mack's not just going to all of a sudden disappear. And, you know, Jonathan Taylor's probably going to be a rotational back, 11 to 13 touches per game. He needs an injury to Marlon Mack to really spring him loose in another ideal situation running behind that behemoth offensive line of the Indianapolis Colts. You got Nyheim Hines there, too, that's going to stunt his statistical growth this year. You know, I mentioned Keyshawn Vaughn and my adoration for him. And Zach Moss is interesting. You know, I think Zach Moss is a guy that, you know, slides in that Frank Gore role. This is a run, early, often offense of the Buffalo Bills, and a player you're getting for nothing. I mean, he's available around pick 120 or pick 125 overall, 130 overall. That I think is going to turn a tidy profit. I also like DeAndre Swift, because we know that Kerryon Johnson's knees are held together with baling wire and bubblicious, you know, at this point in his career. So. And I love the Lions this season. I think Swift is going to be an incredible asset if he ends up becoming the, you know, go-to running back within this offensive scheme. Not as big on J.K. Dobbins, because I think Mark Ingram's got plenty left in the tank, and you got to worry about the poaching factor of Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, there's some interesting backs. I mean, Antonio Gibson is fascinating, too, in Washington. Right, yeah. Could play a hybrid role. And when Ron Rivera is throwing out Christian McCaffrey comps to anyone, I'm willing to listen, especially knowing that I probably have to invest, like, what, around 13 picking him? It's nothing but upside at that price point. So it's a loaded rookie class, but, you know, turnover is going to be so massive this year, guys, because of COVID, and guys are just going to be there one day, and they're going to be gone for 3 weeks on the exempt list until they can have two consecutive negative tests. That we're talking about guys that are on taxi squads right now that we haven't even brought up. They're going to make fantasy impacts this year, even more so than normal.
With these rookies, though, I feel like it's a lot of times it's, okay, do I take the rookie or do I take the veteran at a discount? You can take both. I mean, Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn are a perfect example, because their ADPs have kind of flip-flopped over this summer. Neither of them are expensive. You can draft both of them. Hell, I even kind of like Dari Ogbonwale as like a late dart throw, because who's to say he's not the, you know, James White of this offense?
Sure.
You can take all three of them, and what, it's like a eighth, ninth, and a, you know, last pick of your draft. Like, it's not a lot of capital. Same thing with Buffalo. Singletary, people don't want to draft him, and I think it's really, really, really dependent on what Buffalo means by the Frank Gore role. Because if it's the Frank Gore role from weeks 1 to 5 or 1 to 6, then, you know, that's a big role. He was getting, you know, 12 to 15 carries a game. I know Singletary missed some time in there. But if it's, you know, the second half of the season, it was, you know, 4 carries a game. Yes, they were all coming from the goal line. But Devin Singletary is still, he was really one of the better running backs in the NFL once he took over. It was that game against Washington where he took over, and he was really good. Like, you can take Singletary in round 6 or 7 if he falls there, and then take Zach Moss in, you know, round 12, and you'll be fine, because you'll have both of them. I just think sometimes we get too caught up on which one and not realize that it's not like they're going second and third round or third and fourth round. They're going, there's a reason, there's a discussion, because there's such a discrepancy in their ADP, and you can get both of them.
Well, and to your point about stack cuffing, and I, for the love of me, we will not get out of a running back episode and not mention Cam Akers. Now you're going to hear about it. Okay?
I like Akers too. I didn't know.
It totally slipped my mind, honestly. So yeah, I actually have Cam Akers the highest rated rookie in this class right now in my ranks.
He probably has the clearest path, right?
Oh, he clearly does. And the thing we got to remember, too, is the obsession that Sean McVay has for running the football inside the 20-yard line. I mean, Todd Gurley had 120 red zone attempts combined the last 2 years. Now, is that all going to transfer to Cam Akers? No, I don't think it will. And I understand McVay is throwing out that dreaded RBBC term. But, you know, I believe that Akers, he's a really talented dude. I mean, he ran behind a shoddy offensive line at Florida State and still put up some incredible numbers across the board and catch the ball fluidly out of the backfield. He is not just one-dimensional. He is a three-down running back. He's better than Daryl Henderson. He's better than Malcolm Brown. It's not a matter of if, but when he takes over this backfield, and it could be by week one. I would say with confidence, week one he's going to see 50-55% of the opportunity share, but after 3 to 5 games, it's going to be 60-65%. And eventually is going to be a guy that you're going to be relying on as an RB2 in a week-in, week-out basis in 12-team leagues.
Go ahead, Derek. Talk about the Rams O-line.
Look, I have spit my love list, my soliloquy. If you want to go back and listen to Breakout Players, you can listen to all of my Cam Akers hype, my love, my rants. If you want to, I won't go through all of it. All I will say is that this is music to my ears. If you go check out Brad and Jeff's Breakout Boom and Bust piece, they both agree that Cam Akers is going to break out this year. I am firmly, anybody that has listened to this podcast knows where I stand on Cam Akers. So I love him. I like the point that you could stack cuff both of those like we're talking about previously. Like right now in best ball, Akers is going in the 5th round. Henderson's in the 10th. That's easily doable.
And Malcolm Brown's free.
Mm-hmm. And a top 10 offense right now, for as much maligned as McVay's offense was last year, they were still top of the league in red zone attempts per game and scoring. So we've been talking about Todd Gurley's old stomping grounds. Him and a few other veteran runners have found some new homes this offseason. So Gurley, David Johnson now landing in Houston. Melvin Gordon is gone to Denver. What do you think about these veteran runners and new spots, Brad?
Well, Melvin Gordon's interesting. You know, I live in the Mile High City, and, you know, Phillip Lindsay has been tremendous the last couple of years, much to my chagrin as a Royce Freeman enthusiast. But, you know, the one thing that Lindsay is terrible at that Melvin Gordon excels at is pass blocking. And when you have a young and experienced quarterback in Drew Lock, you got to make sure that his jersey is clean and, in every instance imaginable. Try to set him up for success. And the Broncos have certainly done that. You know, the change at OC definitely helps. And then surrounding him just with tremendous talent. KJ Hamler, a little water bug underneath. And we've got, you know, a scouting report that the Astro guys, Fantasy Football Astronauts, put together on FTNFantasy.com. Cortland Sutton, who I adore. He was my favorite wide receiver out of SMU in that draft class from a couple of years ago. I think he takes a step forward, at least maintains what he did last year, really building an instant bromance on the field with Drew Lock in the 5 games in which they play together. Jerry Jeudy, you know, the best route runner of this draft class. Noah Fant, who led all players among wide receivers and tight ends in yak per reception. So, you know, they've got the tools there to be a team that really, you know, rockets to Pluto this season. And I think Melvin Gordon's going to play a major role in that because he's going to be a 3-down running back for the most part. You're going to see some Phillip Lindsay sprinkled in probably 9 to 11 times per game. But Gordon's brought in. He is there to pick up the blitz. He is there to be the safety valve as a receiver and get some of those tough yards between the pipes as well, especially near the goal line. So if everything starts to click and fire on all cylinders for the Denver Broncos, Melvin Gordon's got a shot at like 8 or 9 touchdowns this year.
I love Melvin Gordon. I think that Shermer definitively, you don't bring a guy like Gordon in, sign him to the contract because he's top 10 amongst running backs in cap hit over the next 2 years. And for everybody that saw his play on the field in 2019, coming in off the streets, not fully in football shape, because there's a difference in football shape. You saw him kind of get his legs under him towards the end of last season. This guy was one of the best running backs in the league in elusivity metrics in 2018. I think we see, as long as health provides, a rebirth of Melvin Gordon. And another guy that I understand that people do not like Bill O'Brien, and he has been just talked about. I mean, between it's either Bill O'Brien or the Green Bay Packers draft as being the biggest punchline of the offseason. I think that we were losing sight of how good David Johnson has been in previous years. Mm-hmm. I understand the injury concerns. I firmly get that. But outside of injury concerns, that's the only like real thing that I can fade David Johnson off of. And I'm not doing it this year because the Texans are going to run the ball. In Bill O'Brien's time in Houston, they've shown that. Every single season with the likes of Carlos Hyde and Lamar Miller's, they've been top 12 in rushing attempts. He's going to garner more than the 16 targets that Carlos Hyde got last year. I'm not even going to have the conversation about who's the better runner at this stage of their career or ever, because it's always David Johnson. So I think that he's going to get some targets. He's in still a great offense this year because I think the weapons, we talked about this last week ad nauseum with Anthony Amico about his love for Deshaun Watson.
I feel like every time I open Twitter, you're touting David Johnson and you're making better and better points each time, and I'm like warming up to him. All three of these guys are just kind of, they've been like meh for me. David Johnson is going to fit this system a lot more than the Cardinals last year, I think. And let's not mistake how ridiculously good he's been as a pass catcher, like 10 yards per target. Like, he's really good in that role. I just hope they throw to him because we haven't seen Houston throw to the running backs. Yes, you know, the Duke Johnson experiment is just odd because they're not using him either. But you know, I'm fine with David Johnson as like a lower end two. He's like the perfect running back for me if I go receiver heavy, if I take a Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson, or if I take a Kelce or a Kittle. Gurley, you're just hoping he stays healthy for all 16 games and walks into 10 touchdowns and a good offense. And Melvin Gordon, I'm just uncertain. You know, Phillip Lindsay's really given them very little reason to go out and get Melvin Gordon. So the fact that they did kind of tells me that, especially when you mentioned the cap hit, like, he is going to be used. So these are guys that I'm not actively like, okay, I need to come out of my draft with these guys, but I'll more so settle with them in drafts.
I think considering they're being drafted around their floor, most are going in that 20 to 25 range. I think they're in sneaky, sneaky spots to garner volume and touchdowns this year. So, Brad, before we get you out of here, who is going to be one of your most rostered running backs? Give us one or two guys that you just can't get away from. You're going to have probably in best ball and all your redraft squads this year.
Well, Austin Eckler's one that I'm happily investing in round two. You know, I mentioned Chris Carson as another one, but Eckler, a player that I'm not at all worried about. I understand that Shane Steichen really wants to run more pistol, but, you know, they were featuring some of that formation late in the season when Steichen took over the play calling duties, and Eckler was just fine. he was a guy that was still RB10 from week nine on with Steichen wearing the headset and holding the clipboard. So, you know, and he was only getting 12 touches per game, and he was maximizing every single touch. 99 total yards per game he averaged, had a handful of touchdowns, ridiculous in the open field as a receiver. He got Justin Jackson, Joshua Kelly there to help alleviate some of the pressure on him. But they're going to move him around, shift him around like a chess piece, and he's going to take advantage because he's just so peak efficient. So I have a lot of stock invested in him. And then, you know, sticking with the running back theme, you know, one player, again, Damien Williams, I'm going to continue to invest in him at his 60.1 ADP. Keyshawn Vaughn, who's, you know, going close to pick 100 now, which I think is a tremendous value. And I love Tony Pollard, too. I mentioned Boston Scott, but Tony Pollard's one of those guys that, you know, if Zeke is out, you know, God forbid there's an injury, you want to talk about a guy that's going to be an absolute stud. He'd be a top five running back. I mean, again, he had more yards after contact per attempt last season than Derrick Henry. He is another one of those guys similar in Austin Eckler. Now he's in snack size bits, but who just is peak efficient. And in that offense, in that system, even as a guy that, you know, could get 8-9 touches per game, because it is Mike McCarthy, after all, who loves RBBCs, you know, maybe Zeke's not going to get his customary 21, 22 touches per game. Maybe it's going to be more like 17, 18, and Pollard is utilized a little bit more. I think in those instances, in those fleeting moments, he is a guy that's still going to be resourceful and valuable. So those are, you know, some of the popular running backs that I seem to be stockpiling in all my leagues.
Yeah, for me, it's going to be the trifecta. I mean, I'm probably going to still lean on Akers, David Montgomery, for all the reasons we're talking about, and I've heavily gravitated to David Johnson for everything I mentioned previously. Adam, who's your guys that you're going to be pressing the draft button for this year?
Like Brad, it seems like I've been getting a lot of that 10 to 12 pick luxury in drafts, so if that's going to keep happening, I'm going to keep taking Kenyon Drake. And Dave Montgomery was another guy because people just throw guys who aren't 60 to 70 or 50 to 70 pass catching backs, just they throw them away like they're not valuable, and he's still a value. And then kind of like the same way Brad went, but a different player, I've done this the last 2 years now. I just like taking Latavius Murray and having that in my back pocket because he was literally the best running back in fantasy the two weeks Kamara was out. That Chicago game, he was just ridiculous. I mean, it's a boring pick, but you know, whether I have Latavius Murray or not, especially because, and I know Brad, you've talked about this and have kind of hope we have this, but with this COVID stuff, we might have more IR spots, we may have more bench spots.
Yep.
So
yep.
you'll have more of a luxury to just hold on to Latavius Murray because he's not going to have standalone value if Kamara's there. He hasn't since he's been in New Orleans, but he's, you know, you'd be hard pressed to find five better running backs than him if Kamara's not on the field. And like I said, you don't have to worry about, oh, I want to pick this guy up, but I don't want to bench Latavius and have Kamara get hurt and somebody else pick him up, because I think we're going to have more bench spots this year.
Yeah, I think you're going to. I'm actually going to write about that on FTN Fantasy later this week, so check that out in the First Down blog. Just some ways to make your fantasy football playing experience more palatable during these unprecedented times. So, yeah, adding bench spots, adding IR spots. So IR spots are hard to police, you know, making sure that people are truly on the exempt list and not somebody's, like, you know, tagged with a P that's probable and somebody's just taking advantage of the system. So, you know, it's going to take a little extra work to do that. You know, going from weekly waivers to daily waivers, I think it's going to be important because I think these positive testers are going to crop up out of nowhere, and you want to have some roster flexibility in that instance. You know, and having maybe going team quarterback, Jameis Winston could have a massive impact this year. if something happened to Breeze, you know, we poke fun at Jameis Winston, but he was a fantasy football hero last year, and he certainly could deliver on that promise again. If thrust into a lead role and it's just a, you know, a paradisical situation. So, yeah, look, you got to have a lot of flexibility this time, you know, of year and more so now, again, due to the time. So it's wild. It's wacky. But, you know, that's why I'm here. I'm here to figure out the unpredictability, which eventually I will fall on my face and not figure out.
Brad, thanks for stopping by the pod today. I mean, look, before we get you out of here, I know you talked about one of your articles coming out. Anything else you need to plug or we got to get up in here that's coming out pretty soon for FTN?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, we've got so much content you guys are cranking out that I'm cranking out on a routine basis. The prop shop is open. Check out the parlay calculator as well if you're into some slick sports betting tools. We're going to have some additional bells and whistles that I can't entirely reveal yet. But you definitely want to go sign up right now at FTNFantasy.com, FTNBets.com, FTNDaily.com, and take advantage of our very affordable prices. Get yourself prepared not only for the fantasy football season, but fantasy baseball, fantasy basketball, whether you're talking daily, if you're into sports betting, whatever it is, MMA, PGA, NASCAR. We even got Aussie rules football, guys. We got a tennis handicapper on staff, League of Legends. If you're in, we got it all at FTN. So definitely check it out, and really excited what we're building, fellas.
Absolutely, man. It's a rocket ship. We are going to just take over, man. It's coming. So if you were not, I don't know where you've been, you're living under a rock, you need to go follow Brad on Twitter at Noisy Huevos. This is an absolute joy having Brad get on here, just spit some love for running back position. Adam and I are going to be back on Wednesday to break down the wide receiver position with a special guest. We have Mike Tagliere stopping by from Fantasy Pros. And so, look, man, we're marching very, very quickly towards fantasy draft season. That's it for this episode. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.